Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliatt Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you. According to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Gospel according to St. Matthew, 10th chapter. I want us to look at verse 13. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. For verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. They will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. God is kind. Isn't he kind? He's so kind. It's good to see you on tonight, Reverend Brent Brown. Amen. Amen. Is your wife with you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I see. That's good. Well, why is green sitting on y'all row?
We sat on her row.
Oh, you did? Okay, all right. God is kind.
Amen.
Jesus had one agenda. That was to do his Father's will. That was to go forth and declare and proclaim the kingdom of God is among men. Early in that chapter, as he was preparing to send them forth, he informed them that the journey would not be all they may want it to be. That the work of the kingdom will quite often meet much opposition. But it is expedient, it is imperative that you go and preach good news. Just preach the gospel. That's your primary assignment, to go and preach the gospel. Go tell cities and towns that is saturated with bad news. Tell them there is some good news. Tell those cities that are sin-ridden and where sickness and disease permeates and parades around that there is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician that healing is available. Preach the good news. And when you go, travel light. Don't carry a script with you. Don't carry any money. Just go and don't look for any fees. Live off of the generosity of the people. I don't want you to get dependent on people. Not that you're not worthy of compensation. I don't want you to get caught up in that. There's going to be times you're going to go forth and somebody won't give you anything. And I don't want you to get it in your head. I don't want you to stumble over that. I want you to bear in mind that whatever you do for me, I got your back. I don't want you to get dependent on money. I want you to stay dependent on me. And I need you just go. Not because you're not worthy of what you're higher. You are worthy. Yeah. You're worthy because I made you worthy. Yeah. I wouldn't be sending you if you weren't worthy. Right. But that some people may not appreciate your gift. Not only will they not appreciate your gift, they won't appreciate the one who gifted you. But I need you to go because what you have, money can't buy no how. And I want you to give it to them. What is that to give? Give them that good news that the kingdom of God has come in their midst. They no longer have to lead and live defeated lives. They don't have to succumb to Caesar and Herod's tyranny. They can have freedom in spite of what they're going through. They can be liberated. They don't have to be retaliatory. They can be responsive. They don't have to get back, get consumed with getting back with people or getting back at people. They can see God work in their lives through the preaching of the gospel. Once they get set free, they'll know that real life is lived not from the outside in, but from the inside out. But I want you to understand, I'm excited about you. I'm excited about sending you, but I need you to know that there's some people that's not going to be quite as excited about you as I am. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you the hardest thing for you to deal with is going to happen to you. You're going to have to deal with rejection. There's going to be places you enter in that will not receive you. And I don't want you to respond to the rejection with depression. I don't want you to get depressed because your enemies or the people I'm sending you to don't want to believe your testimony. Your testimony is your testimony. It doesn't change because somebody decide they don't believe it. It doesn't change because somebody decide they won't receive it. You need to hold on to your story, even when your story is unbelievable to the ears of those who hear it. They will try to reject you. They not matter of fact try. They will reject you. And I don't want you going out there getting in brawls and fighting people because they reject you. You need to understand the real, if you will, target of the rejection. The rejection is not, you are not the rejected. You're not the one they are turning their back on. They are turning their back on me. They're turning their back on my message. They turn a deaf ear to my message.
message, and when they turn a deaf ear to the message, they don't know what great mistake they are making by not hearing and receiving the good news you're about to give them. You're not going to those cities by osmosis. You're not going to those cities by accident. You're going to those cities by divine providence. I told you, wherever you go, I need you to carry the story. Now, don't promote your agenda. Don't promote your personality. No, don't change your story to please their ears. You tell them that the good news, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You tell them the good news, that the kingdom of God is in their midst. You tell them that God was and is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And I can't guarantee you everywhere you go, somebody gonna receive you. But I can tell you this, if you go in my name, some signs and wonders will follow your preaching. I will do that for you. I will give you the authority. To go up against the powers of evil, so that whatever town you go in that Satan has ravaged and Satan has ruined, I'm going to give you the authority to go in that city and reverse everything that the devil has set loose on those people. You go there and you do it with joy in your heart. He understood that human nature. He understood that human nature has a problem with rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected, because when rejection is experienced, it has an awesome effect on one's psyche. It has an awesome effect and an awful effect on one's thinking. People can make you feel like you are worthless through rejection. People can make you feel like, yes, you're not worthy of their presence, like something is wrong with you. People can make you feel like, if you will, you have no real value just through rejection. Many young people get in trouble trying to fit in the crowd because they don't want to feel rejected. So that in order to get accepted, I compromise my values, I compromise who I am, I compromise and I throw away what I was raised up on, the principles and moral values, in order to try to get along, to go along. You're not hearing me. Rejection is a terrible thing, to the end that many young people in our age have found themselves committing suicide because they have been rejected. And through bullying and through mocking, many have been driven to a place of low self-esteem. And the devil wants you to feel like you're nothing. He wants you to feel like the assignment you're on is of no real importance. He wants you to feel like what you're doing is out of step and out of touch with life. But I slip by to tell somebody tonight, I don't care what the enemy has said to you, and I don't care how the enemy acts with you. What God has done in your life, if he's done anything, it cannot be refuted and it cannot be reversed by Satan's denials and rejection. I give God glory tonight, because I realize that people really get upset with you whenever you have any spiritual gift. You gonna pray with me? I heard a woman preacher said the other day, she was talking about giftings and she was talking about women, and she was saying how women can be very vicious, not because of the car you drive, not because of the garments you wear, but she said that women are very vicious and envious of other women who are gifted. You got to understand, when you are gifted, when you have something that money can't buy, when you got something that mama and daddy can't give them, when you got something that you can't run downtown and just pick up, when God lays his hands on you and deposits in your spirit an unusual anointing, an unusual gift, though many will be blessed by it, many will despise it. You're not hearing me, but you need to learn how to walk in in your gift and accept the fact that everybody ain't gonna like. Everybody ain't gonna like my gifting. Everybody ain't gonna like me. And if they hate my gift, they can't help but hate me. I contend that it is not only women, but it's also some brothers who cannot handle other gifted brothers. I wish I had a witness here. Yeah. When you are gifted, you've got to be careful, because you can become the envy of Satan. The devil is always out to snuff somebody out who is gifted. Are you with me tonight? It doesn't matter how small or how big you say your gift is, as long as you are just gifted. You might be able to sing like a mockingbird. You might be able to sit at the keyboard and tickle the ivory. You might be able to stand and proclaim the gospel in oratorical and rhetoric form. You may be a silver tongue preacher, or you just might be a bronze tongue preacher. The fact that God has dispatched you on mission is enough for the devil to put a hit on you. Come on and talk back to me. And what the enemy will do, he knows he cannot change what God has done in your life. He knows he can't stop you because you're on dispatch. So what he'll do, he'll get in the minds of people whom the Lord has sent you to. And by the time you get there, they'll be sitting on you. They'll be acting like what you're saying ain't nothing. They'll act like you ain't got no power. But you stand on your message and understand, you're not there to prove anything to anybody. You're just there to proclaim. You're not to prove anything. Let God be God. Let the Holy Ghost be his help. Let God do what he do. Let the word go forth. And if God and Christ, the hope of glory, be in you, you're not hearing me, somebody go receive the message. So he says to them, listen, y'all, I'm almost done. Listen, you're going to be rejected. And you might as well get used to it. You might as well get comfortable. You might as well put that suit on anyhow. You might as well put that dress on anyhow. They ain't going to like it, because you are gifted. No need you putting your light under a bushel. Oh, no, I've seen people who were once gifted, but now they sound like sour grape when they sing. They're envious of you because they have abused their gifts. And when you abuse and neglect your gift, you destroy the gift. God doesn't take the gift, you just destroyed it. You're not hearing me tonight. See, because God is not an Indian giver. God doesn't give you stuff and take it back. God gives you the gift, but you've got to be a steward of the gifts. You got to take care of that voice choir. You can't sing on Sunday and fill your throat with Salems and Cools and Moors. Come on, talk back to me. Preaching, you got to take care of yourself. You can't preach the gospel and drink all the liquor you can find. You got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of the gift, because you have this treasure in an earthen vessel, so that the excellency of the power will not be of yourself, but be of God. The only reason why God gives us is so that he can get the glory. Because when you know that person is operating not out of his ability, not out of her ability, but they're operating in supernatural ability, God has to get the glory. And so he says, you need to understand that because of your gifting, you're going to be rejected. He says to them, I'm not hiding anything from you. I'm going to disclose everything on the contract. I don't want you to think that everywhere you go, people are going to receive you openly. Because you're going to go in some cities, and you're going to go in some houses, and when you get there, they're going to reject you. But don't go there trying to make friends. Don't go there trying to network. Go there to throw out the net called the gospel net. And if they receive you, pronounce blessings on that house. Oh yeah, I want you to bless that place. Because once they receive the message and the messenger, then I will complete the work that I've begun through you by way of the Holy Ghost. You're not hearing me. So many times, people sit under the gospel and it seemed like pouring water on a duck's back. And you have to be careful because you began, brother preacher, brother evangelist, sister evangelist, missionary, oh yeah, lay person, you'll begin to think that there's something wrong with you or the message you are preaching. It's not you, it's them. But then you need to understand that some people, it takes a little longer, yeah, for the word to penetrate. It may not get it until the benediction is given. But that's fine. It doesn't matter when they get it, as long as they get it. Oh yeah, everybody will not respond the same way when the message is given. You see, some people been in bad situations so long, they've been hearing so much bad news. When they hear good news, they don't know how to receive it. Are you with me tonight? There's some people who've been hearing, you ain't nothing. You'll never be nothing. Your daddy was nothing. Your mama was nothing. Your sister was a skank. And you ain't nothing much. They've been hearing that down through the years. So when you come talking about, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. When you start talking about, in Christ, we are new creatures. When you start talking about, yes, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. When you start talking about living, he loved me, and dying, he saved me, and buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified me and freed me forever. One day he's coming back. Oh, glorious day. When you start talking about, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, they can't handle that. When you start talking about, with his stripes we were healed, they can't handle that. When you start talking about, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I not have told you, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When you start telling them, you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you, and they've been told they're nothing but a failure for 30 years, it's hard, yes it is, to receive that good news. And you can't get discouraged and get all upset because you think the word ain't doing its perfect work. You go ahead and keep preaching, keep proclaiming that Jesus is a wheel in the middle of a wheel, that Jesus is a blind man healer, that Jesus is a heart fixer, that Jesus is a mind regulator, that Jesus is joy in sorrow, that Jesus is a way out of no way, that Jesus is a bridge over troubled water, Jesus with a leaning stick, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, that Jesus is my Ebenezer, Jesus is my scapegoat, Jesus is my sacrificial lamb, Jesus is the rose of Sharon, lily of the valley, the bright night and morning star. Jesus is my day spring. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is my battle axe in the time of battle. Jesus is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Jesus is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear when you tell them that he's able to fight their battles? He is able to bring them out somewhere. The good news will raise them up. The good news will lift up their head. The good news will lift up their spirit. And somehow, somehow, somebody gonna get delivered. Somebody gonna get healed. Somebody gonna get set free. Somebody gonna trust God. Have I got a witness tonight? Is he able? Tell the good news. Go where you got to go, but tell the good news. And if they reject you, don't get mad. If they don't receive you, don't get mad. If they don't want to receive what you have, don't get mad. Don't react, just respond and shake it. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it off your feet and start making tracks. Because where I'm going, somebody gonna get blessed. Where I'm going, somebody gonna get delivered. Where I'm going, somebody gonna get saved. Where I'm going, somebody gonna get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Is God all right? Hallelujah. 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 Tell your neighbor, shake it off.
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.